Thank you, Simon. Our final news stories include how a woman turned her life around with the help of the Norvik Clinic, that farmers are opening up their farms to the public on Open Farm Sunday, and, firstly, a tale of love for 60 years after a couple meet on a bus.
When Ron Gower got the 11B bus to Norwich from Bungay as a teenager, he never thought he would meet the love of his life, who would end up married to for 60 years. Ron, 84, and Jane Gower, 82, of Brook, are celebrating their diamond wedding on Saturday, June the 10th, and the tale of how they met may just be the perfect Norfolk love story. They first met on the 11B bus to Norwich, as they both worked in the city. Mr. Gower was an apprentice cabinet maker, and Mrs. Gower was a hairdresser. I, at the time, had a girlfriend who introduced me to this lovely young lady, Mr. Gower said. I don't know whether she was planning to dump me or what, but it took off from there. From that first meeting, they were inseparable, going on dates to films every week at the Odeon in Norwich and spending every weekend together. Mr. Gower said, it was the usual snogging on the back seat, but when I finished my apprenticeship, I had to go into the forces. He joined the RAF as radar operator at RAF Bordsey in the middle of the Cold War in 1954. We were protecting the shores of Britain, but June stayed at home working as a hairdresser in Norwich. But we continued our courtship, he said. Upon leaving the RAF, Mr. Gower returned as a furniture salesman and began to build a life with Mrs. Gower in Norwich, marrying at the United Reformed Church in Mrs. Gower's hometown of Bungay on June the 10th, 1957, enjoying a honeymoon at Great Yarmouth. They moved around the city centre, living in Mill Hill Road, and spent 7 years living in York Street in a 10-bedroom house with their grandmother and an aunt. The couple finally settled down in Helsden, where they brought up their two daughters. Mr. Gower said, "Advice I would give to people getting married is don't give up. If you love the lady, stick with it, and it's important that you keep a sense of humour. It can get you out of all sorts of bother, but then it can also put you in it." The pair enjoy caravanning and spending time away each year. The couple will be celebrating the milestone with an afternoon tea at the village hall in Brook, with 50 members of their family and friends.
She isn't your average classroom visitor, and her school trips are a far cry from her days on the racetrack. Hillside Avenue Primary School in Thorpe St Andrew has recruited the help of a canine friend to encourage children to build confidence in their reading. Hetty the Greyhound has swapped racing at Great Yarmouth for regular visits to the school, where she sits and listens, and sometimes naps, as pupils read stories aloud. She is often joined by Charlie, the Golden Retriever, who is brought into school by a member of staff. And both the dogs have earned their Pets as Therapy badges, meaning they are safe to be in the classroom. Liz Ireland, head of early years at the school, said it had transformed the children's attitudes to reading and had even helped one overcome a fear of dogs. Having the dogs there encourages more reluctant readers and supports children who could do with some extra reading practice, she said. For children who are anxious about getting things wrong, it's been amazing. Reading to a dog, who is completely non-judgmental and can only respond with positivity, has been hugely beneficial. The new initiative at the school, Reading with Dogs, was inspired by similar schemes elsewhere around the country. Hetty, who now lives in Sheringham with her owner, was rehomed by Home Finders, which looks after former racing greyhounds.
A classic piece of Coleman's mustard memorabilia from the early 1900s is up for sale. The J&J Coleman Limited advertising mirror depicts a head and a shoulder portrait of King Edward VII. There is a catalogue guide price of £150 to £200 with Lockdale's, the auctioneers in Martlesham. It will go under the hammer on June the 15th. Auction manager James Sadler said, "Coleman's mustard memorabilia has often sold for good money at our sales. Coleman's Mustard had been based in Norfolk ever since Jeremiah Coleman started his mustard and flour business in 1814 in Stoke Holy Cross, just 4 miles south of Norwich.
From vast fields of wheat to robotic milking machines, the diverse work of the countryside will go on show this weekend as farmers throw open their gates to the public. Open Farm Sunday on June the 11th is an annual event run by LEAF, that's Linking Environment and Farming, offering families a fun day out to learn about the latest technology and science of farming, and giving farmers an opportunity to meet the people who eat their food. Most of the events are free, with activities ranging from tractor-trailer rides, farm walks and bug hunts, to feeding lambs, sheep shearing and milking demonstrations. Across East Anglia, the host farms include major farming estates drawing thousands of visitors, or smaller family farms offering a more intimate experience. But all have their own offerings, where people can meet the animals, marvel at machines, or simply enjoy the countryside. The regional coordinator for Open Farm Sunday is David Jones, farm manager at Morley Farms near Wyndham. He said, "It's a chance to find out a bit about farming and see what goes on in the countryside." He also said the engagement with the public was beneficial for farmers. "A lot of us are commodity producers, and so it is good to meet the people who ultimately consume our products, the people who buy our foods in supermarkets and restaurants. In other words, anyone who eats food, and that's all of us."
A colony of bee orchids has flowered again in a local wildlife spot known as the Meadow of the City. Located outside the Big Yellow Storage Company, opposite Carrow Road, the cluster of flowers currently has 8 blooms of the lilac and yellow buds, named the bee orchid after their stripy appearance. While the orchids are not rare, their appearance year on year in a city centre location has brought a touch of glamour to the surroundings of the nearby Norwich Retail Park. The city centre wildlife oasis also features Oxney daisies and other wild flowers and attracts wildlife, including common blue damselflies, ladybirds, bumblebees and swallows. The flowers were first spotted in 2009 by Chris Durdin, 61, a UEA economics graduate and local nature enthusiast. They blossom in early June for around 10 days each year, making this week the ideal opportunity to take a look at them. Helda D'Souza, 57, a sales advisor at the Big Yellow Storage Company, said it was really nice to have the little piece of wildlife near the business premises. "The last 2 or 3 years, we've been in agreement with the head office to protect the flowers. The blooms are staked out when they appear, and the grass of the meadow is not cut completely until they are gone, ensuring the orchids keep flowering year after year."
It was a case of on your marks, get set, go, as a former RAF site was transformed into a children's racetrack for the day. The old RAF Coltishall site, now called Scotto Enterprise Park, has seen some spectacular events in the past, and you can now add this to the roster. Youngsters from 17 Norfolk primary schools raced in 25 cars in the county's first ever Formula One-style engineering event on Wednesday, June the 7th. Up to 200 10- and 11-year-olds drove the single-seat electric cars they built at school, with budding engineers and Lewis Hamiltons competing in slaloms, drag and sprint races. Green Power Education Trust ran the project to spark children's interest in STEM subjects, that's science, tech, engineering and maths. The project was backed by Norfolk County Council, whose STEM team worked tirelessly to make the day a success. Bernice Dixie, STEM coordinator, said, "The project is a really innovative way to get children to develop their science and technology skills. Norfolk has an impressive history when it comes to automotive engineering, and we want to inspire more of our young people to pursue a career in the sector.
I was mad, bad and violent and not a nice person to know. Those were the words of a Norwich woman who, after years of suffering with mental health issues and a stint in prison, has turned her life around to help others on the road to recovery. Tracy Jackson, 37, admits she was a problem child. She was taken into care when she was just 2 years old, but unlike her sisters, who were both adopted into the same family, Miss Jackson regularly moved between foster carers and children's homes. "I was a problematic child who people couldn't handle," said Miss Jackson. "I was very impulsive and started half self-harming, drinking and smoking cannabis to act as some kind of release." She started to experience mental health difficulties after becoming the victim of physical and emotional abuse, and by the age of 7, Miss Jackson had been sexually abused by a carer. "I would cut myself and take overdoses and use ligatures. It's difficult to explain why, but I wanted to make other people stop abusing me while also carrying on the abuse myself. I ended up trying to kill myself, but wasn't ready for help. I was still mad, bad and violent and not a nice person to know." Miss Jackson's downward spiral continued to 2014, when she was sent to prison following an arson attack. Her self-harming worsened, and inmates would single her out. Her mental health deteriorated further when she set fire to her cell and was put into segregation and spent all day, every day, alone. Eventually, she was referred to the Norwich Clinic on the medium secure unit run by the Norfolk and Suffolk Foundation Trust after she swallowed bleach. By May 2016, she made such good progress that she was able to gradually move into supported accommodation. She has now started working with the NSFT's Recovery College, providing office support and working as a peer tutor. Miss Jackson said, "My life has changed completely. I'm sharing my story to help others and looking forward to the future and giving something back. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm a much better person. I hope other people who are struggling can see from my story there is light at the end of the tunnel. A journey is never a straight line. There are always ups and downs. What is important is learning how to deal with them."
School children in Norfolk are helping a university generate clean energy using a simple ingredient, mud. Schools from across the county are being invited to take part in a competition with the University of East Anglia to see whose soil creates the most energy, or mud watts. The experiment will teach children about microbiology, energy, chemistry and physics by encouraging them to send soil samples which contain energy-generating microbes with details of their location. Scientists will judge the entries based on their maximum power level, total power output, and length of power charge. The results will be revealed at the Royal Norfolk Show on June the 28th and 29th. Dr. Tom Clark from the University's School of Biological Sciences said, "A mudwatt is a renewable power source that uses microorganisms to drive the process and effectively removes contamination from the soil by turning chemical energy into electrical energy." That's all for this edition of Chatterbox. All the features were taken from the Eastern Evening News with the kind permission of Arshant, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for this audio version. When you have finished with this memory stick, pop it in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn the address label over. There is no postage to pay at all. Don't worry if you haven't listened to everything by next week. Keep your memory stick until you have listened to all that interests you. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. The editors this week were Sarah Lusher and Sarah Houghton, and the sound recordist was Brian Kerridge. We always like to hear from you, so please do call us on 01603 765 365 That's 01603 765 365. Or you can visit our website on cbtn.org.uk. That's all from Chatterbox this week. So from me, Pauline Goldsworthy, goodbye.
And from me, Mike Hutchinson, goodbye.